Let's pray and then read the Bible. God, thank you for today, for being good to us. Thank you for letting us come together and see each other's faces and hear each other's voices and together lift up your name and together read your word. So God, we ask as we read this morning that you would indeed speak to us through your word, that it would be living and powerful, and that you would open our hearts and you would draw us to you, that you would change us, you help us to know you better and love you more. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I'm going to take the liberty of saying something, a general statement that, as I often do, I guess, but a general statement that I think is true for most of us. We want to have a bit of control in our lives. Isn't that kind of a bit of a true statement? It's a basic desire, need that we all have. We want to control our lives on some level. We all have a plan for our lives. We know where we're going, what we're going to do. When we don't, we kind of get a little bit worried. We think and we feel and we act like we can control and order our future. And, you know, we want to be in control. We like being in control. We've seen that definitely in the last several months, haven't we? As we've gone through a pandemic, we've seen it's just kind of come up to the surface. I want to be in control. And when the thing first started, what did we all do? It's like, I got to buy food. I got to buy toilet paper. I got to get enough. I got to. We didn't buy that much. We're still getting through it. We still have bacon in the freezer from, you know, we didn't buy that much, but we wanted to make sure we had enough. We just in case, want to control things. We all have a plan of how to protect ourselves now, or a plan for how to get back to normal, whatever your plan is. We all have a plan. We've all become experts in medicine, and which actual real doctors love, that we're all now, you know, fake doctors. And we all know somehow we all have ideas of how a whole society should get through a pandemic. Like if I were to turn the microphone the other way, we would all be experts, different opinions, but we would all know how we should do it and what it actually should look like. We know what people should do. We know what the politicians should decide. We all know. We all have our own opinion. And see, me saying that isn't a political statement, because I'm not saying one way or the other. We all have an opinion. We know what should happen, but we can't control life. We've also seen that, haven't we? Just brilliant flashing colors of we can't control life over the past few months. We can't control if we get sick or not. One of my sister-in-laws got the virus, and her and her husband, they're fine now. They got through it, but they were older, and they were like in they should worry age group. And they got through, and they was like, how did they get it? They didn't go out ever. It was, how did they get the virus? It just, we can't control, ultimately. We can't control what the government could do or will do, would do. That's ridiculously true now. There's no way that can be controlled. We can't even control if other people will or won't use a mask, or if I have to or don't have to wear my mask. And when we can't control things, we get antsy, don't we? We get a little bit just on edge. We try to take back control and force control, and we can't. And so when unexpected circumstances happen, whether it's a pandemic or a global virus, or that's the same thing, or sickness, or difficult economic times, or problems in your relationships, whatever the thing is that comes into our lives, we kind of start losing our head. We get angry and we get stressed and we get tense and I can't control things. We wouldn't say it like that, but that's the underlying stress that we all feel. We get worried about the future. We start imagining the scenarios. What if this happens? What if this person gets elected? And what if this thing happens? Or what if there's this kind of a thing and a riot here and a this? And we start thinking about different scenarios that we won't be able to control. And we get a bit desperate when we can't control our life. What do you do? What's your reaction? How do you react to life when you start losing control of something in your life? What do you do? See, in the middle of wanting to control life, not being able to, we open up our Bibles, and it's like there's a light of hope, a light of hope that God gives us. And here is the big idea. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Big idea for us today is this. We can trust in God. We can't control life, but we can trust in God. You say, yeah, did I get up and go to church this morning for that? I knew that. I know, we know that, but we don't know it. We know it, but we don't live it. We know it up here, but it's hard for it to get to our heart. We can trust God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. That's our word for the day. It's trust, it's confidence, it's trusting in God. It's a decision, will I trust in myself and my control over life and the future, or will I trust in God? What is trusting in God? Look at that verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean. It's depending. It's leaning on him. It's having confidence in him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That's looking to him for guidance. It's not saying, if the Lord wills, which is a good thing to say, we should say it. That's not trusting God. Trusting in God, in all your ways, acknowledging God is not just saying, if God wills, and then going off and doing your own thing. It's leaning on him for his guidance. It's saying, what do you want me to do? It's leaning on him for strength, and he will make your path straight. It's not a guarantee of how things are going to turn out, but rather a guarantee that he will control the way things turn out. It's depending, trusting, leaning on him for the result, for how things will end up. Not the way that you want them to, but the way that he wants them to. It's believing, trusting God is believing that he knows better, that he can, that he's able to do more than we can do. And I want to look at a story together, and it's some of you are going to say, oh, we just saw this because we did. I want to look at last week's story. So some of you say, hey, didn't see that. Some of us will say, we saw it already. Can't we move on? Here's the deal. We saw last week's story through the lens of worship, through the lens of praise. I want to look at the same story, and I want to put a different set of glasses on. I want to look at this same story through the lens of trusting in God, because what this story is going to teach us is how to trust in God and what it means and what it looks like to trust in God when everything goes badly. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20 again. 2 Chronicles 20. Look at verse 1. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, with them some of the Menuhites, came up against Jehoshaphat, the king, for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea. Behold, they are in Engedi. They were in problems, difficulties, bad problems. They were all going to die. Not a chicken little kind of, we're all going to die. In actual, we are all going to die. Look at verse 3. Look at how he responds. Then the king, Jehoshaphat, was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. See, instead of losing his head, instead of saying, I got to do something, I got to fix this, I got to find... He trusted in God. He leaned on God. He sought God. And then look at how he seeks God. Look at his prayer to God. Look at verse 5. Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations, and your hands are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they have lived in it and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save us. And behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who did not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given to us to inherit. We see in this, first of all, answer to the question that we should be asking, why should I trust God? If I can't trust in my own understanding, if I can't trust in myself to figure things out, and why should I lean on him? Look at in his prayer what he say. We trust God because of who he is. He's telling God, he's describing to God who God is. He's describing to God that his sovereignty and his control and that he's the king of the universe. It's not the words he used, but he's talking to God about who he is. We could trust God because of who he is. He's the king of the universe. universe. He always has a plan. He always fulfills his purposes. We can trust him. We can trust God because of what he's able to do. He's all powerful. And then the other part of the prayer is he tells God, he describes to God the relationship that he and the people have with God. We could trust God because of our relationship with him. He saved us. He's regenerated. He's made us new. He's made us his children. And he also describes to God the things he's done in the past. We could trust God because of the stuff that he's done for us. Just think of how he's sustained you and how he's provided for you, how he's accompanied you throughout your life, the way that God has worked in your life. Just as you think about that, we say, that's why I can trust God, because of who he is and who I am in relation to him and what he's done for me in the past. I can lean on him in the future. Continue reading then in verse 12. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jeziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaniah, son of Jael, son of Menadiah, Levi from the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed by this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Aziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the Kohites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. They rose early in the morning, went out of the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood before them and said, hear me, Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire. And they went before the army and say, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so they were routed. That's trusting in God. That's what trusting in God looks like. What should we do? What is it actually? Because it sounds good to say, don't lean on your own understanding, trust in the Lord with all your heart. What does that look like? How do we do that? This shows us, because they did it. What should we do when we're in the middle of our problems? We should do what they did. What did they do? Well, first of all, it's the first part we looked at. They confessed their faith in God. They confessed who he was. We already know that. He already knows it, but it's part of trusting in him is reminding ourselves, you're the great God of the universe, and we're your children, and we know that you hold the future in your hand. We recognize that you are sovereign over all, confessing their faith to him. And then they laid before him the problem. And again, it seems kind of like it's unnecessary, because we know that God knows everything. And so our cut and dried, black and white kind of this or this minds, we say, well, he knows it all. This is just a waste of breath to tell him about it. They did it. They brought their problem to God and they said, this is what we're facing. And they laid it out before him. And then they waited. They stood before God. They waited. It's waiting for him to show us the path. It's waiting for him to show us what to do. It's listening. It's listening to his word. It's listening for the guidance of his spirit. It's listening to God. And then when he tells us what to do, when we open the Bible, when he guides us in what to do, then it's saying, I'll do it. It's obeying. That's what they did. They obeyed him. God said, I'm going to fight the battle for you. Why do you think they put the singers before the soldiers? Because they knew that God was in control and God was going to fight the battle. That was a way of obeying God's direction to them. They did what God told them to do. We obey God and then we accept his will. Even when his will, part of trusting God is accepting his will when it's not what we want it to be. When the being shut up in your house goes on much longer than a week or two, when it's, I can't believe I'm running a I'm running around in my backyard like a prison inmate. This is when life takes a turn, and it's not what we, and we prayed and we trust God. Part of trusting Him is trusting when His will is not our will. How do we know? How can we know when we're in the middle of problems? Because we can look at that example and we can lay it out. It's okay. So I confess my faith in God and I lay out my problem before Him, and then I wait and I listen and then I obey and I accept His will. I get that. How do I know if I'm doing that? How can you know when you're in the middle of a problem, if you're actually trusting God, or if you're leaning on your own understanding? What does it look like to trust in God? It's when we go directly to Him with our problem. It's when we go to Him. It's when we focus more on confessing. Yeah, they laid out their problem to God, but you see the amount of time they spent saying what their problem was compared to the amount of time they spent just confessing their professing their faith in Him and who He was and what He had done and what He was able to do. It's when we wait for God's guidance. If you wait for God's guidance instead of just saying, I got to do something, and then desperately casting about and making it up as you go. And when you wait for His guidance, that's trusting in Him. When we know what He wants us to do, and we do it even when it's difficult, that's depending and trusting in Him. And when we accept the result, even when it's not what we would have wanted, that's that you could say, okay, I'm trusting God because I'm at peace. It's when we have peace as we go through the process. When I'm stressed out and worried, I'm not trusting in God. But when I'm peaceful and when I'm calm, it's like, yeah, it is what it is. This is the way it is. I'm going to go through this. That is a sign of trusting in Him. When we can do what they did and sing in the middle of the storm, when you can sing when things are horrible, when you can sing even with tears running down your face, that's a sign of trusting in God. And that's what we need. That's what we need. We need to learn how to trust in God. We need to put into practice trusting in God, because we're in the middle. There's always problems in life. This is no different than any other time. But right now, we're in the middle of a pandemic still. As much as we would like it to all be over, we're in the middle of tumultuous times. We're in the middle of that. The politics and the stuff in the streets and stuff burning and just, and then our own personal stuff, just everything else we normally have. All of that can remind us, that can serve to remind us that God is in control and we are not in control. He has a plan for the future. Nothing is a surprise for Him. What happens when we trust God with that kind of trust? What happens? What happened in the story? We enter into peace instead of fear. We enter into victory instead of casting about and making our own way. We're safe and secure, like the song says, from all alarm. We're safe and secure when we base our life on this confidence in God. We end up following His plan. When I trust God, I follow His plan. And then He does His will in me and through me and in my life. When we trust in God like this, we're in His hand. And there's nothing like knowing and feeling that I am in God's hand as I go through this, that just removes fear and stress and gives peace in the middle of the storm. So what should we do? Go back to the first verse we read, Proverbs 3. We should trust God with all of our heart. We should lean on Him as we go through bad times, bad moments, stress and anxiety. We should lean on Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. If you're not a Christian, that is the essence. Listen, that is the essence of giving yourself, to surrendering to God. When you hold back from making the decision to follow Jesus, to give yourself to Him, you're holding on to control of your life. You're the ultimate boss of your life. But when you give yourself to Jesus, when you decide to follow Him, when you repent and are baptized, when you make Him the Lord of your life, that is deciding that you will trust Him completely, not just today, but for the rest of your life, whatever comes your way. And when you make that decision, then you're not the one in charge of your life. You're then in the hands, the strong hands of your Creator, and you can put your trust in Him. And when you do that, You're doing something of which you will never regret for the rest of your life. So if you're not a Christian, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Give yourself to Him. Repent and be baptized and surrender your life to Him and decide to follow Jesus for the rest of your life. And in this community, when you say, I want to do that, tell someone. You can repent. You can be baptized. And for those of us who are Christians, what do we do? How do we practice trusting in God with all our hearts? Well, that's the word, I think, for us today in our application. It's practice. We have to deliberately, consciously practice trusting in God. So when we have a problem, big problem, small problem, we have to learn, like just to start doing it when you get home today or tomorrow. And every time there's something that you start feeling a little stress. Lately, I've been talking about little triggers, you know, like what should trigger me to make this application? When I start feeling stress, when I start feeling anxiety, when I start feeling worry, when I start feeling kind of, you know, angry, whatever the thing is for you that shows that you're not trusting in God, let that be your trigger. And then put yourself, put your problem, put your life in the hands of your Father. Once again, describe your problem to Him. Confess your faith in Him of who He is and that He's your Father and that He loves you and that you know that and He's helped you in the past and He's sustained you and He's carried you throughout your life. And then wait and listen and listen and read His word and listen and wait and then obey His guidance and His direction and accept His will, even if it's completely different from what you would have wanted. Practice actively. That's our application. Let's practice this week doing that every time we feel stress and every time that we start just not trusting. Let's practice trusting in Him. And now's a good time to respond back to God, to respond. We're going to take the Lord's Supper together. And as we do that, we remember something incredible that's related intimately to our trust and our faith in God, because it's because of Jesus, it's because of the cross, it's because of the gospel that we can have, that you and I can have the same trust in God, the same blind just belief that I'm in His hands and He holds me that Jehoshaphat had. How can they have the temple? They had the presence of God. They could go to the temple. That's what they said, right? We're supposed to come here and then seek you. They knew that. They knew that they were His people and that He would take care of them because of what Jesus did on the cross for us, because of His sacrifice and then His resurrection. We are God's children. We have God's Spirit in us. If you're in Christ, you're God's dearly beloved child. You are a temple of the Spirit. And we can have the complete confidence we can know as we look at the gaze on the cross, we remember Jesus' body broken and His blood. That's why we take the bread and we drink the cup, is we remember His body broken and His blood shed. We can remember I'm in His hands, and I can have the same confidence that Jehoshaphat had, that my Father loves me, and I'm in His hands, and He will take care of me. That's what we remember, and that's what we are thankful for as we take the Lord's Supper. We remember His body broken and His blood shed. We're thankful for the confidence, the security that we have now as God's children. Why don't we pray for the bread, and then we'll take the Lord's Supper together. God, thank You for being good to us. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for Jesus, what He did on the cross, and the fact that we can now with full confidence say, you are my Father. I'm Your child. And You love me. And You hold me in Your hands. You will never let me go. And You hold not just me, You hold the future. And I can trust in You. I can lean on You. I can depend on You. I can follow You. I don't have to make up my own way because I'm Your child and You love me. God, we thank You for Jesus and the cross and that we can be Your children because of Him. In His name we pray. Amen.